You know you need to change your lifestyle. It may be because of a bad trip to the doctor, or you just feel bad all the time. Either way, today we're showing you how to start your lifestyle change for the last time. Plus, much, much more, all in episode number 98 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello and welcome to Fat to Fit Radio. So Russ, all the listeners want to know, because I said I'm going to light a fire under your butt and get your weight loss coming again. How are you doing?
Jeff, the fire's out. It's good. But I do have some weight loss here. 2.3 pounds since last show. So down to 212.9, counting every tenth of a pound as we go on from here, because I'm just fighting for every little one.
So how are your goals this week?
You know, you talked about last show, that if your goals are tens and nines and tens, then you're going to have a good week. And you know what? You're exactly right. I'm going to say my eating goals, 10 out of 10, just doing perfect on those. Exercise, probably 9 out of 10. And motivation, a good 10 out of 10. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to revise every show here for the last four shows. I'm going to go with and just take every single one of those things down, those goals down like two notches. Because when you actually get to a point where you're like, you know what, I'm hitting on all cylinders now, and you look back and you go, oh, yeah, I wasn't before. And there's a difference, and I can see that difference now.
Well, after the show last time, I tried to give you all of this advice of here's all the little tricks and things from advanced weight loss techniques. So what did you actually pull together and do to get back on this weight loss train?
Well, I literally took right from our show, Advanced Weight Loss Techniques, and I started doing the carb cycling. I go now for about 3 or 4 days, eating about 100 grams of carbs. Instead of at my maintenance level, which is about 235, 240 carbs. So then after that 3 or 4 days, I go ahead and eat at that maintenance level and kind of refeed my muscles that glycogen that they're looking for. And then I've also done, increased the amount of cardio that I'm doing. I'm doing at least 30 minutes on the elliptical every day, the high intensity interval training on that most times as well. And I'm also at the same time continuing my 30 minutes of walking every day. And then I'm also sneaking in a second session of cardio when I have the opportunity.
Well, that's excellent to hear that you've really turned things around. And it is all about effort and not just knowing everything that you're supposed to be doing, but actually doing it. And it's great to see that you're right back on track.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back on track. So, Jeff, we've got some emails here. Why don't we get to those? And the first one is from Hilda.
And she wrote, I've been a yo-yo dieter my whole life, but I've never been able to lose any weight at all. And I've always stood between 190 and 215 pounds due to other health issues. But recently, I reached 271 pounds back in September of 2009. A little while after that, my husband admitted that my weight has caused a strain on our marriage. A very fit friend of mine told me to just eat half of everything that I normally eat and cut out soda and cake, and I could lose some weight over time. Well, it worked for a while, and then in March, I hired a personal trainer who taught me all of the same things that you guys teach. Eat more, eat healthier, and work out at least 30 minutes a day, 3 times a week. But I work out every day right now. I am now 220 pounds and dropping. And I just want to say you guys have played a huge role in my focus. Thanks, guys. You are making a real difference in people's lives.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, it really shows you how big the portions are that we're eating nowadays. And this kind of reminds me of that John Travolta diet. When John Travolta wanted to lose weight, he would just eat half of everything that was on his plate. He would take his burger, he would order a burger and fries, cut it in half, just throw the one half away, and eat the half, and lowered his calories, and he lost weight. So that's all diets work. As long as you have that calorie deficit, whether it's the South Beach diet, the John Travolta diet, you know, whatever it is, as long as you're in that calorie deficit and add in that the moving, working out, being active, and you're going to lose weight.
I like to hear from the email when people start losing some weight and they're getting some results, and then they turn it up a notch and get a personal trainer and really start doing everything just perfect. I mean, that's great to hear.
Yeah, let's get into our second email. And we've had this question from multiple listeners over the last year, and they've asked us the same thing. What we think of the shoes or sandals that claim to help you lose weight? And examples of these are the Reebok Easy Tone and the Skechers Shape Ups. There are also many other brands out there that offer the same type of shoe.
Well, I did some research into this over the last year or so. Every time someone would send us an email and say, there's a study that says someone's losing weight. And I looked into this, and all of those shoe and sandal products that claim to help you lose weight, in my opinion, are an absolute joke. They try to make walking more difficult by forcing you to walk differently and use slightly different muscles to compensate. And it's true, when you start wearing them, your calf muscles will get sore, but that's because you're walking in an unnatural way. People also get sore when they wear high heels at the same time. So we could say that wearing high heels also works different muscles and could make you lose some weight. And we could make those same weight loss claims for high-heeled shoes. Now, most people are concerned about buying good shoes and adding orthotics, if necessary, to correct problems with their gait. So by walking unnaturally, there's actually a higher potential of injury than there is of losing any weight because of them. You would get much more benefit out of wearing a slightly heavier pair of shoes for a lot less money.
Yeah, and if you took a look at the Skechers Shape Up site, here are the claims that they're making. Get in shape without setting foot in a gym. Shape Ups are designed to tone muscle from your back to your abdomen, improve posture, and promote weight loss. But then you need to look at the disclaimer on the page as well. Walking regularly in Shape Ups may lead to the fitness benefits indicated on this page. Individual results may vary. So you look back at there, it says may lead and your results are going to vary.
That's right. Most of these advertisements for fitness products like this that are quite questionable, they use an advertising technique called glittering generalities. Whenever you hear the words such as may or might, those are truly weasel words. And weasel words are designed to make things sound promising, but not actually offer any sort of guarantee that it will work for anyone. Even using the words that Shape Ups are designed to tone muscle is not the same as saying Shape Ups tone muscle. Those are two completely different statements. I could say that my polka dot wide suspenders are designed to attract women, but that does not mean that they will attract any women. I'm not even going to bother to go into the fact that there's no such thing as toning muscles. Now, have people lost some weight while wearing these types of shoes? Probably, but it wasn't because of the shoes. Maybe it was because they started to walk more and ate a little bit less at the same time.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Jeff. Just the act of getting out and walking is going to be a big benefit. And with these funny, weird shoes, you're going to look weird too.
That's right. Maybe these shoes are the 0.1% of the benefit of losing weight, but they're not worth the money. Just eat a little bit less, exercise a little bit more, and you'll get way more results than wasting your money on some shoes or sandals.
Yep, we got our third email here, and it is one from Lizzie.
And she wrote, "Hi, Jeff and Russ. I've been listening to your awesome podcast for a while now, and you guys do a great job of educating and motivating me. I'm a 5'5" female, and right now I weigh 203 pounds, a small victory compared to my highest weight of 215. My question is, does it matter what time of night you stop eating? I ask this because a lot of people and articles have stressed to stop eating for the day around 6 or 7, but I don't hit the hay until 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Is that some more slops for the pigs, or is there any truth to this?"
Well, Lizzie, the general rule is to make your last meal approximately 3 hours before you go to bed. Now, most websites and quote-unquote experts tell you to stop eating at 7 p.m. That's fine if you go to bed at 10 o'clock. But if you're up until midnight, the old stomach is growling like crazy when you hit the sheets. We recommend eating 5 to 6 meals throughout the day. That last meal, number 6, is the one that you would either drop off or add depending on what time you go to bed. Now, also, that last meal should be made up of mostly protein. It should generally be smaller than the other meals that you eat throughout the day. Now, you don't need a bunch of carbs right before you go to bed. You aren't moving around as much as you are during the day, so you don't need all that energy provided by those extra calories. So a small meal at the end of the day, if you have that in your calorie balance, go for it.
And you know, in reality, it's the amount of calories that you eat over the 24-hour period. Sure, when you eat right before you go to bed, some of that could be stored as fat because you're not burning as much energy. But over the 24-hour period, it does not matter at all. I often eat right before I go to bed if I'm hungry, because if I go to bed hungry, I'll wake up and be craving and want to eat other things. A lot of people, when they lower calories, a strategy is to eat right before they go to bed. It might not be perfect for the next few hours while they're sleeping, but it doesn't matter. It's the 24-hour caloric deficit that counts. So don't worry about it. If it works for you, that's fine. It's not perfect, but it doesn't really matter. 90% of the time, that's what we're trying to aim for.
All right, so I want to thank Lizzie and Hilda and those multiple listeners who wrote in questions about those weird shoes. Thank you for sending those in. We appreciate it. If you'd like to get your comment or question to us, there are a few ways you can do that. The first one is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on the website, fattofitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, it's time to get into a couple of news items. Jeff, with the web report, what do you have for us?
Well, the headline that I have this week, weight loss drugs Xenical and Ally forced to add warning for possible liver damage by the FDA. Now, this was first reported in the Wall Street Journal, but I'll leave a link to an article from theexaminer.com that has a few more details in the Wall Street Journal. So I'm just going to read a little bit from the article. Weight loss drugs Xenical and Ally forced to add warning for possible liver damage by the FDA. Following a dozen reports of serious liver injury, the Food and Drug Administration has ordered the makers of the popular weight loss drugs to add a warning to their products. The pharmaceutical giants Roche and GlaxoSmithKline are the makers of the two drugs, which are the same except that Xenical has a higher dose and requires a prescription in the United States. The active ingredient in the medications is orlistat. The new labels will direct consumers to stop taking the drugs and consult their doctor if they develop symptoms that indicate possible liver problems. These symptoms include itching, yellow eyes or skin, and darkened urine. Liver damage can be deadly. If you're taking either medication and develop symptoms consistent with liver problems, contact your physician immediately and do not resume consumption of these products until given the okay by your doctor. Now, I'm just going to go over Ally or Xenical, and in different countries, they may have different trade names, but the actual drug is known as orlistat. Now, we've talked about these, you know, maybe 50, 60 shows ago, but what these two drugs do is they reduce the amount of fat that you can absorb by up to 25% of the fat calories that you eat. But remember, it's the overall number of calories that you eat that makes you gain or lose weight. That whole craze about fat making you fat was just an 80s craze that was never backed up by science or any studies. It is true that these drugs do stop some of the absorption of fat, but who cares if that isn't what is making people fat? You can eat all of the simple carbohydrates like candy or even pure sugar, and this drug will do nothing for you. Now, here's some numbers that I like to throw out. This is what you're actually saving by using Ally or Xenical. If you are eating a 1,500 calorie per day diet and 20% of those calories come from fat, if you do the math, on one of these products, you will not digest 76 calories from that fat. And where does the fat go? Well, it goes right through you. Undigested food comes out as undigested food. If you look at the warning labels on these drugs, they say side effects include oily discharge. Now, this drug does nothing except aversion therapy for one macronutrient. Fat doesn't make you fat. It's the overall calories you eat throughout the day. So not digesting 76 calories that comes out of your butt undigested, let's just say, that's hardly worth the money. Simply eat, for example, 1/3 cup less of rice per day or one less slice of bread per day, and you get the same calorie savings without the financial costs and without the side effects. So it is kind of a useless drug in our opinion because it's not going to do anything except try and get you to stop eating fat. It's not guaranteed to make you any thinner, and now it's saying that it can cause liver damage. So what do you think, Russ?
Well, Jeff, while you were talking, I decided to go over to Walmart.com and check out how much I would pay for Ally. And they've got here a 60-count pack of Ally for $33. That is, according to the directions here, three pills a day. That's 20 days for $33. Not even a full month's worth for $33. Now, I don't know about you. I can think of a lot better things that I could do with $33 right now.
Well, that might be half a gym membership right there for a month.
Exactly. And it's only 20 days worth. So, yeah, the best to just not even entertain the idea of taking these kind of things.
Can't agree more. So, Russ, what do you have for us this week?
Well, I was watching a little video over at CNN, and it was about pesticides on the fruit and vegetables that we eat. Now, the doctor in the video mentions what he calls the dirty dozen. Now, these are the 12 fruits and vegetables that, if you can swing it, you should buy organic. Now, organic meaning that those pesticides that are used on conventional crops, they aren't used on organic crops. Now, a lot of these fruits and vegetables have the skins that you would normally eat or no skin at all, and that makes the absorption of the pesticides even greater. So, the dirty dozen are celery, peaches, strawberries, apples, domestic blueberries, nectarines, sweet bell peppers, spinach, kale, and collard greens. So that's one. Cherries, potatoes, imported grapes, and lettuce. Those are all ones that if you can, you should get in the organic variety. But then he's also included the Clean 15. Now, this list has better protection, so little or none of the pesticides that are used to protect the crops get into the food. These are the ones that you can safely buy the non-organic version and save money, and you're still not going to get those pesticides. And the Clean 15 are onions, avocados, sweet corn, pineapples, mango, sweet peas, asparagus, kiwi fruit, cabbage, eggplant, cantaloupe, watermelon, grapefruit, sweet potatoes, and sweet onions. So we'll have this list over in the show notes. You can take a look and you can make your next shopping list based on the Clean 15. That would be a good idea.
So Russ, from the article here, the Dirty Dozen, celery, peaches, strawberries, etc. So when we look at all of the different fruits out there, they're still good for you. These are the ones that might have more pesticides in them. So as a whole, though, they'd still be a lot more healthy than eating junk food, simple carbohydrates, you know, chocolate bars, chips, etc., right?
That is correct. And there are ways to mitigate the amount of pesticide that are in these, like taking off the skin. You know, a lot of that pesticide is in the skin. It's not going to go into the fruit or the vegetable. So that's one way to do it. You know, sometimes washing doesn't get it all out. But like you said, Jeff, any way you do it, you know, as long as you don't eat 1,000 pounds of strawberries, you're not going to get enough of that pesticide to really make a difference. But it's just nice if you have the ability to get those organics to get them for these particular items.
Well, we're both definitely not the experts on this, but we're going to have a interview coming up in a future show with a vegetarian. So we'll ask them and we'll get the real scoop on this.
Chicken enemy number one, Jeff, that's me. But now we're going to move on here to our feature section, and Jeff has quite a lengthy report here on how you would change your lifestyle from the beginning.
All right. Now, the feature section this week, I'm going to talk about the lifestyle change process. Now, we have about 60 hours of shows so far, and there is a ton of content that has been covered in detail in all of those shows. What most people have a hard time doing is putting absolutely everything together. We have literally hundreds of suggestions on things like the different types of exercise, like steady state training, interval training, circuit training, and all of these different resistance training programs like pyramids and supersets and 2 or 3 day splits, plus all of the information about what we suggest that people should be eating and even how often they should be eating. So do we suggest that you learn everything and then just start doing everything the very next day? Well, not exactly. Changing hundreds of things in your life in one day is just too much of a shock for most people. Realistically, you can't just change your lifestyle on a dime and stick with it. Changing a couple of things per week is much easier to do, and it'll be so much more successful in the long run. The entire series of shows has never been about how to go on a diet for a few weeks or months. It's all about how to be healthy and lean and strong for the next 30 or 40 or even 50 years. If it takes a month or two or even three to fully get your lifestyle changed around to that thinner person, who cares? Really, 10 years from now, are you going to look back and say that you've really wished that you've had that body you have right now 1 month earlier? You can fail a diet, but you can't fail a lifestyle. That's what we're always saying here, and that's what really counts. So what I'm going to do is walk everyone through the process of how I would coach an overweight couple to change their lifestyles to permanently lose 50 pounds of fat. You can also go through this process yourself if you've listened to all of our shows or even read our book. All the details are there. You will have the knowledge. This is a logical way to put it together to change your life. Let's get back to this hypothetical overweight couple that I live next door to. I'm going to assume that they are just the typical overweight couple. They're both 30 years old and they have 2 young children. And let's say that they used to be fairly active in their 20s, but then after the birth of their first child, the stresses of life and work and simple lack of time, all that seemed to change their lifestyle to one of just getting by day to day. And over the last 8 years or so, they've both gained weight. This is so common for most people. And I'm going to assume that they're kind of average height and average weight. So the guy, let's say he's 5'10" and weighs 225 pounds, and the woman is 5'5" and weighs 175 pounds. And as I said, they both want to lose 50 pounds. So do I meet them at the gym the next day and get them started? Well, no. You see, the process of any sort of personal training or coaching would always start with dealing with any safety concerns and doing a current assessment. The standard advice is always to get checked out by a physician before starting into any exercise program. Let's say that my neighbors haven't done any sort of regular activity that breaks a sweat for 5 or 6 years. There are many medical conditions that don't show up until a person starts exercising and pushing their body. In a worst-case scenario, they could have a heart attack because of an underlying undiagnosed condition. So at a minimum, I'd want to make sure that my neighbors at least had a physical within the last year. Now, the current assessment that I'm talking about just isn't about exercise. I want to do a lifestyle assessment. If you truly want to change your lifestyle, you need to be fully aware of your own lifestyle right at this moment. So what I would do is I would want a 1 to 2 week diary of everything in their life. I would push hard to get 2 weeks worth because the more information that we have, the more areas for improvement and modifications that you can get, and you can start to see more patterns. As well, people are more self-conscious at the start, so I might not even count the first day or two in my analysis. The goal here is not to make any changes to anything, just record your life. What time do you go to bed? When do you get up? Record every single piece of food that goes into your mouth, including midnight snacks or even samples at the grocery store. What hours of the day are you traveling to work? What time do you work? When and how many hours do you normally watch TV? Just record everything. Get a good picture of your current lifestyle. The goal of this whole process so far is to clearly show the lifestyle of a 225-pound man and a 175-pound woman. When you calculate the amount of calories that they're eating on a daily basis and look at all of their activity, it will be pretty close to what would be expected of people their size. When you look at all of the daily activities of a person, there is usually no mystery as to their body fat percentage. Fat people live fat people's lives. That's the flip side of our philosophy on this show. So once I had a clear look at their lifestyle over a couple of weeks, I would sit them down and explain in detail exactly what their life would look like on a daily basis after they both lost 50 pounds and they are now lean and fit and strong and healthy and feeling energetic, etc. There are no mysteries here either. This is the education portion where they would see the big picture and get convinced that it isn't that hard to live the lifestyle of someone who is 50 pounds lighter and in much better shape. So if we look at the numbers, the difference between a 5'5" woman who weighs 175 pounds or 125 pounds is only about 300 calories less per day. For the 5'10" man, the 50-pound difference from 225 down to 175 is only about 400 calories less per day. Most people who are overweight by 50 pounds or so, they don't all eat junk. They just eat too many calories on a daily basis. They can be eating really healthy food. Everyone should know their ballpark figures for themselves. Those calculators are on fattofitradio.com under the tools section. So I have both people sat down. They know that the guy has to eat 400 calories less. The woman has to eat 300 calories less to reach their goal weights. So now what we would do is go over the food portions of their diaries. And we do this twice. On the first pass, the woman would figure out how she could have eaten 300 calories less per day, and the guy would figure out how he could have eaten 400 calories less per day. So on the first pass, they would both look at what they had eaten each day and figure out how they could have removed 400 or 300 calories, either by just cutting out some of the foods or by making the portion sizes smaller. The lifestyle of that thinner person will not be that different. By doing this exercise and doing it fully, everyone should be able to see that it's really not that big of a deal to cut out that much food every day on a regular basis to be at the size that they want to be at. Now, on the second pass through the food diaries, I would show them the list of our best foods and I would get them to make substitutions of what they ate with some of the better foods. The goal here is to show that there might be some better food choices that are more healthy and food choices that will allow them to eat much more food for less calories than what they're currently eating. Now, all of this is just part of the process of simply being aware of where you are right now, seeing in detail that you're living the lifestyle of a heavy person. In my example here, the neighbors don't exercise, which is typical, so all I could really look at was their eating. So now they have an idea of what the best foods are and what they should be eating, how often, and the number of calories they should be eating. At this point, I would strongly suggest that they just start eating like that thinner person that they want to become right now. But I'd also tell them that they can lower their calories by a few hundred calories more especially as they get closer to their weight loss goal, because their weight will start to slow down. And that will speed up their fat loss, but if they really want to speed it up, exercise is the way to go. So now I would take them to the gym, right? Well, no. The most commonly overlooked thing is goal setting. We have covered goal setting at the start of each year because it is just so important. When setting these goals, I would probably spend half of the time helping them to come up with reasons why they want to lose fat and become healthier. I would make sure that their reasons are meaningful to them. This might seem kind of cold for me, but if they didn't have powerful personal reasons of why they want to improve their health and their bodies, meaning that the reasons were things like they wanted to do it to make someone else happy, or they thought it was just something that they should be doing, well, I would tell them that we should cut our losses right here, and I would stop coaching them. You see, I believe that I can't make anybody truly want anything. Putting in the effort to make changes to their lives can be really hard at times. It is so much easier to be fat. It is just so much easier after a stressful day to pick up a milkshake at a drive-through than it is to put in an extra hard workout to release that stress. There are going to be dozens of decisions every single day that they will need to choose the healthy choice. And if they're not really involved emotionally into their goals, we will all be wasting our time. No matter how much I might want them to succeed, I can't do it for them. They're still going to wake up in the middle of the night and get a craving for chocolate. I am not going to be there in the middle of the night. Sure, you can put my face on their fridge with a nasty message telling them to go away, but this is really stupid if you think about it. Is guilt a true motivator for most people in the long run? No, they have to believe and want to change to change. That is so important. Okay, so let's say they now have convinced me they have good reasons to lose weight. They've given me a big list of personal whys. The next thing we want to do are set the goals. These are the 1 year, the 3 month, weekly, and daily goals. I don't stress the number of pounds per week of fat loss. That's not a great goal. The goals that I think are the most important are the daily goals of your eating and activity. When you accomplish all of your little goals on a daily basis, everything else will fall into place. So now I take them to the gym, right? Well, it doesn't have to be the gym, but it's time to look at exercise. Looking at their current lifestyle and commitments right now is the most important thing when designing an exercise program. I would have no intention of putting them on the best, most efficient exercise program. My goal would be to suggest how to work in a few times of exercise per week and then find other activities that maybe they can do as a family on the weekend. Maybe in a year or two, they both may exercise 5 times per week for an hour and love it. But if they attempted this routine right now, they'd only last a month or two. Gradual is truly the key. For example, we all know that cardiovascular exercise is just as important as resistance training. But if all they do for the first few months is go for a jog in the morning, maybe twice a week, well, it's better than nothing. Any success is better than nothing. For that matter, if someone has been continuously gaining weight, I don't even care if they lose any weight at all in the first month or two. The goal would be to stop the weight gain and then start to work on improvements. But let's say right off the bat that they both commit to going to the gym 3 times per week. What exactly would I do for people who have done nothing physically for years and are about 50 pounds overweight? Well, I would spend time gradually increasing their workouts. My goal would be to do an overall full body workout that will get them used to working all of their muscles, but not too hard that they're ever going to be too sore from the gym that they would ever miss a workout. Here would be an example of a workout that I would give on the very first day. Now with this workout, I would fully expect both of them to tell me that the workout is way too easy during and after the workout. And then I would fully expect that they would both complain that the next morning they were stiff and a little sore in, you know, all those little muscles that they didn't even know they had. So here would be an example for this couple on day one. I would have them do 3 different cardio machines for only 4 minutes each. So 4 minutes of walking on a treadmill at an incline, 4 minutes on a stair climber, and 4 minutes on an elliptical. That's 12 minutes of cardio, first day back. Then they would go to the weight machines and do full upper and lower body. I would have them do 1 set of 15 to 20 repetitions for each body part at about 40% of the weight that they're capable of lifting. There would be no rest between sets, and we would alternate between upper and lower body parts. 5 minutes of stretching at the end, and the workout is done in 30 minutes. this would be a good standard body conditioning workout for someone who is just getting back into exercise. This would be good for many months. The intensity can be increased slightly every single workout. Now, this is just a starting point. Soon they may be ready for other activities at the gym, such as all of the different aerobics classes or spinning classes. In a few months, they might be ready to try some interval training or circuit training. They may start doing more advanced resistance training routines. So that's just the basic process of how to get started. The main points that I want people to come away with are, number one, there's three main pillars for success in fat loss: nutrition, exercise, and motivation. If you're missing any of them, they will sabotage the other two. Secondly, make small changes gradually. You don't have to be perfect on the very first day of your new lifestyle. Your new lifestyle can be the lifestyle of making weekly changes. After 6 months or so, you may realize that you now have a lifestyle that is 90% perfect. 90% is good enough to have the body that you want to achieve. And lastly, find out where you are right now and compare it to the lifestyle that you'll have to maintain your goal weight and shape for the rest of your life. That's really all there is to it. So I hope this gives people a little bit more direction.
I like it, Jeff, because we get a lot of emails that just asking, you know, where do I start? I've decided that now is the time I have to get off this this fat wagon that I'm on and get on the fit wagon. And it's just nice to know that you summed it up very nicely, that, you know, how to do it. When it's, you don't just get in the gym right away, that there's so many steps before that, that you have to do it right.
I think a lot of these television shows where people change their lifestyle 180 degrees that in one day, and they can do it for a little bit, and then they say, this is not the lifestyle for me, and they go all the way back to their old ways. So I think the gradual approach and doing things maybe a little bit too easy at the start is really the way to go.
Yeah, people get stuck on either all or nothing, and there's a place in between, and that's where we live right here.
That's right. Well, let's move on to the recipe of the week. What do you have this week, Russ?
That's right. We don't have a recipe this week again. We just have a product that you might enjoy as part of your overall diet that that may help you lose weight. Just something that I've used and I've enjoyed. So today I'm talking about quinoa. Now, you wouldn't guess you'd pronounce that as Q-U-I-N-O-A. And it is actually a seed. And it's up to 20% protein, but it's typically around 16%. And you can use this and you can add it into oatmeal. We've had listeners mention that they add it into oatmeal. I've used it in lieu of something like a couscous and added some chicken broth to it and some onions. And we'll actually have a link in the show notes for the recipe that I've used to make quinoa into a very nice alternative to a rice or a couscous or potato. It's very good. And you might really enjoy this as part of your diet. So take a look at the show notes and learn about quinoa.
Sounds good.
All right, Jeff, what is our homework for everyone this week?
Well, the homework this week is to do a one-week lifestyle assessment for yourself, similar to what I discussed in the show. Keep track of everything for 1 week. How many hours per night that you sleep, what and when you're eating, how many hours per day you're working, traveling, watching TV, exercising, socializing, etc. The goal after a week is to really look back and see what you do in your daily life. If you gave this to someone else anonymously, would they think that they are looking at the lifestyle of someone who is fit or someone who is fat?
Very good. Good homework. All right, Jeff, what's our quote for the week?
The quote comes from Leonardo da Vinci, and he said, "I have been impressed with the urgency of doing. Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Being willing is not enough. We must do."
I think Leonardo was part Mr. Miyagi.
Could be.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much, Jeff, for that great feature. And thank you everyone who emailed and wrote into the show. Keep those coming. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to take a look at the show notes, they're over at the website fat2fitradio.com. Look for show number 98, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.